Little surprised. Let me do introductions first. I'm Ryan Sokolowski. I'm a senior program manager with the Windows Server and System Center PACE team, and also part of the CAT team. Prior to joining this team about a year ago, I was in Microsoft Consulting Services for the previous 2 years, and I was the West Region Private Cloud Specialist, expert, whatever. I did private cloud implementations all over the United States and Canada. I know these topics very well. I'm well-versed with it. And then what we're going to do is we're going to separate a little bit between real-world knowledge and exam knowledge. And there's probably not a lot of acknowledgment of that, and I won't go too deep into it. But I'm a little surprised, frankly, that the room is not actually completely packed, because I am scheduled to repeat this session tomorrow morning at, like, 9:00, due to, you know, indicated demand. But maybe it's the popcorn or the bread pudding that's available out there. It did look good. With that in mind, we'll move into this. This is how many people in here were in my earlier session on server infrastructure? Okay, a couple people. So that deck was extremely dense. Slide after slide after slide of, you know about this, and know about this, and know about this. This deck has a much different structure and feel to it. We lightly touch on the topics, and then there's basically a practice question for each area. So it's a little bit more interactive, so keep your thinking caps on, and we'll probably have some fun. Quickly, we'll touch on the objectives and takeaways. Obviously, this session is intended to help you successfully prepare, that's the operative word, for the System Center 2012 exams 246 and 247. And to provide some insight, I've got about 6 to 10 slides at the beginning, which is a little bit of an intro about some of the new exam questions and formats. And then I'm going to also go off script and give you some tips of my own around that. So key takeaway one, obviously, certification exam info. Key takeaway two is an important one that was corrected for me by an attendee the last time I presented this deck. They came up to me and informed me that these two exams have actually been refreshed. And what that means in the exam development terminology is that the initial exam was written around Server 2012, and then because 2012 R2 was released, they've gone back and refreshed the exam. So they haven't completely rewritten it, but what they've done is they've created additional questions that are perhaps 2012 R2 specific and added them. So the exams should encompass both 2012 and 2012 R2 topics and questions. And I've got a comment here. You know, is this mile wide, inch high? Not necessarily. We're going to come back to that. But with that in mind, we're going to take a look at some kind of pre-canned slides. Show of hands, I'm going to do the opposite this time. For whom is this your first certification prep session this week? Okay, great. So actually, the majority of you. So the rest of you, this will be a repeat. The rest of you who are new to this, this will be fresh. The whole purpose of doing, you know, certification, there's multiple reasons why one would engage in this endeavor. Increased confidence in your abilities at work, enhanced product knowledge, and also to learn about certification to educate your coworkers and impress your boss and friends and family, who really don't care. Don't keep telling yourself that. For your career, it makes a great commitment. So at Microsoft, every year we go through our annual review, and we set commitments for the following year. It's a great thing to put on your commitments. Helps kind of hold your feet to the fire as well. Shows drive and initiative. It's a tangible way to demonstrate mastery of a product. Using myself again as an example, in the MCS world, when we are proposed as a resource for a project, our resume, our internal Microsoft resume, is presented to that customer, basically for the blessing or approval of the customer, and this becomes another way to help demonstrate to our customers or your customers that you understand these topics and you're not just pretending, faking your way through it. Sets you apart, recognition inside and out, and it's completely achievable at TechEd. There may actually still be time to go upstairs to third floor and do a walk-in registration and get an exam scheduled before the end of the day tomorrow. So some of the changes to the certification program and the exams. I've been involved in certification exams, taking them as well as creating them for many, many years. I originally got certified on NT351. So I think there's certainly people in the room who may have me beat. It's always a competition amongst other MCTs who's passed the most exams and who was the earlier certified person. But suffice it to say that I've NT351, I've been in this game quite a long time, and there's been a considerable evolution in the whole process. As you know, it used to be MCSC, and then it went to MCITP, and now we're back to MCSC, although it means something different. So the relevance of the exams, the certification, has certainly changed. We're now testing a broader skill set. The world is, it sounds cliched, but technology in the world is certainly much more complicated today and interconnected than it was back in the NT351 days. So you can expect, particularly on these two exams, you're dealing with the entire System Center product, which is a single product. So each piece is actually a component, just a talking point for you. It's a change that was made in the System Center 2012 timeframe. So Operations Manager is no longer a product. It's a component of System Center, which is the product. Does that make sense? There are now recertification requirements. Certifications don't last forever like they used to. So certifications will expire and have recertification requirements to go back and recertify every 2 or 3 years, I believe. The exams certainly reflect an increased rigor. They are probably more challenging than they used to be, if nothing else, just because of the item types, the question types, and the way that the exams have been revised. Certification requirements are going up and certainly require a deeper skill set. This is kind of a bit of a throwaway slide, but for those of you who are newer to the process, certainly informative. We're talking about the upper left-hand box here, which is the MCSC Private Cloud certification. There's also the in this space, there's also the MCSC for server infrastructure and for desktop infrastructure. There's a couple others at the bottom, which I believe are much more related to SQL Server, the BI and data platform, certainly, and then the two MCSD certifications, with which I know absolutely nothing about. I'm not a developer, so. That's a great question. Yeah. I know that there's still exams for Link and for Exchange and so on, and I'm not sure how those fit in terms of specialization. Okay. So as I noted a couple slides back, certainly increased rigor on the exams, and the exams are intended, as well as the certifications, to be a reflection more now of the real world that we live in. Where you're continually learning more, and the exams are now validating more as part of this. The solutions are certainly much more complex that we're all dealing with today than they were 5, 10, 15 years ago. and the questions have to reflect that in the exams. And the exams, the theory, the thought is that these are the best way to validate that candidates know what they know. So with that, there's actually new item types. So you will have fewer multiple choice questions, which is frankly all I have in this deck because those are easier to put together. But on the actual exams, you will have a wide plethora of item types. You will have case studies. How many people in here, by show of hands, went through the Windows 2000 certification exams? You remember the old design exams? Yeah, see, now I loved those because I had an approach that worked for me on those. There was a lot of feedback at the time that people felt that they were more a test of reading comprehension, and that could certainly be a valid point. The other challenge, too, with moving back to a case study model is those questions are probably much more challenging for someone who English is a second language for them. So unless you're taking a localized version of an exam in Spanish or Japanese, or I'm not sure what, you know, what other languages we have available for certain exams. Yes? Chinese, right. Okay, they're less expensive in China, great. Good. So case studies have come back, and they are scenario-based. The idea here is they to validate that you can see the big picture and make the decisions from more of a design level, design perspective. And then there's also innovative item types, which is really, you'll have four or five, six items or choices on the left-hand side in a box, and they'll tell you to drag and drop the appropriate choices over to the right-hand side and put them in order. They won't tell you how many to move over. So those are certainly a little bit more challenging. The difference is that they really do, and I think we've got one question in here that I'll try to come back to this point on, they really do differentiate what in the exam world is known as the minimally qualified candidate. MQC. Yes. So the yeah, and that's actually coming up. So I'll address that. I won't repeat the question just because we're going to address that next. I'm going to go off script here a little bit on the case studies. Let me give you a tip, my approach on how to do these. You are in the exam, you answer a few questions, and then a case study comes up. The first thing you do is do not read the case study. Okay, I've got everybody's attention?
Yes.
Right, do not read the case study first. Unless you have a lot of free time on your hands and you just enjoy reading a story about Fabricam and how many domains they have and you know, the challenges that they have with their ADFS infrastructure or with, you know, Operations Manager, so on and so forth. The trick is immediately go to the question. What is it that you need to solve? You need to blah, blah, blah. What should you do? Read the item, the choices. Now go back and read the case study, right? Because the first time through, it's just a story. Nobody cares about the story. But now if you go back and you read the case study the first time, you're now trying to solve a problem as you're reading it and trying to find that information. It will stick with you a lot better because you're going to have four or five or six or eight more questions on that same case study. So don't read it once the first time as a throwaway. Does that make sense for everybody? Your natural instinct as a person, though, is, my case study, and I'm going to read it. And then you get to the end, and they're like, okay, so you have to do this. And you're like, what? Where was that in the case study? So now you got to go back and read it a second time. So that's my tip on the case study questions, and that's why I always enjoyed the design exams for Windows 2000 was because I developed that approach back on the Windows 2000 exams, and that always served me very, very well. So some exam tips. Again, we've got a lot more people now who have come in, and again, I should probably pause and say thank you all for getting up so early and getting over here or coming down the elevator, depending on where your hotel is. Exam basics, there's roughly 40 to 60 questions on these exams. You have 1 to 4 hours to complete the exam. Those times are published. I don't think I've ever seen an exam that is 1 hour. I don't think they exist, because I think you have a half hour up front to do, or 15 minutes up front to do the survey, and then 15 minutes or 20 minutes at the end to do comments, so that, you know, you're already almost into an hour. You can review questions, can. However, in blue, you cannot move between case studies. And this is simply a feature, as we would say at Microsoft, a limitation of the test engine. So the way that the test engine at Prometric works, from what I understand, simply doesn't allow you. So once you get into a case study, you're going to answer, again, you know, 4, 5, 6, 8, however many questions about that case study. And then once you get to the end, if I remember correctly, you'll get a screen that says, you know, warning, you know, if you click next and move forward, you can't come back to any of these questions. You can't come back to this case study. 700 is passing. I think everybody who's taken an exam, and we have a lot more people in the room now, so I don't know if there might be some new people. 700 is passing. 700 does not equal, so equal sign slash 70%. The two have nothing to do with each other. It's a very complicated algorithm that I am not going to attempt to explain. There's a blog site called borntolearn.net. That's Microsoft Learning's blog site. There's a very smart woman who works at Microsoft that I know very well. Her name is Liberty Munson, and she is Microsoft's psychometrician. That is her title. Anybody know what a psychometrician is? No hands. Somebody who does psychometrics, yeah. We got a smart guy in the front. A psychometrician is basically the person who does all the math and the calculations and understands exam theory. So she's the person who has basically engineered all of this. She has some great blog posts on that site about scoring, about the whole exam development process and everything. So she's given some really good insight into things. The 70%, well, let me move on to the next slide, because this is what I was just going to jump to. So each exam has a cut score. That is basically what 700 equals, is that cut score. Each question is worth a single point. So I think that was related to the question that I got before. Each question is 1 point. They are not weighted, does not matter. If it's a choose all that apply, and the correct answer is like 3 answer choices, and you get 2 of them, you don't get 2 points instead of, you know, the total of 3, because that doesn't exist in the world. It's either correct or it's incorrect, the question. There's no partial credit. Again, if everything's worth 1 point, you don't get it partially right and get like, you know, 2/3 of a point. It's either wrong or it's right. And there are no points deducted for wrong answers. So that's a key one. You would not believe how many people don't answer some of the questions. Don't leave anything blank. If you truly don't know the answer to a question, something comes up. Let me deviate again. The other way I take these exams is I go through and I try to burn through the exam as fast as I can. If a question comes up, I skim it. If I know the answer, if that question, in the exam parlance, if it telegraphs to me, which means I'm reading the business problem, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, okay, that's this answer, and then I'm down here in the answer choices looking for that answer, that's called telegraphing. If it telegraphs something to me, and I know the answer, I'll answer it. If I don't know the answer to that question, I will mark it and come back to it at the end and review it. You don't want to run out of time. You don't want to leave anything unanswered. If a question comes up that deals with, you know, rocketry and nuclear physics, and you're completely out of your depth, guess. Make a guess. Seriously, don't leave it blank, because it will be wrong, period. Yes. Bingo. The question was if you have 4 out of 5, you know, if the correct answer, which you're not going to know because it's in the test engine, if the correct answer is, you know, these 5 answer choices and you only get 4 of them, sorry. You don't get partial credit. Now, the exception to what I just said, you may have questions on an exam that are unscored. So this is how new questions are introduced to an exam, is they are added to the pool, but they would be added in unscored. Now, you won't know that, so it doesn't matter, right? It's irrelevant. Try to get every question right. So the way to interpret questions, all questions have a very consistent anatomy or structure. They're all built the same way. They start with a business problem. So this is your setup. You are the network administrator for Contoso.com. You won't see a lot of that anymore. We've kind of moved away from that. There is a goal statement. This is the piece that says, you need to, blah, blah, blah. Should be in every question. That's what you're trying to solve. There are one or multiple correct answers. And there are multiple distractors. A distractor is a wrong answer that sounds really good. And it's there, again, to differentiate the minimally qualified candidate, which I mentioned before, I didn't elaborate on. It's the MQC, is the minimally qualified candidate. And what that really is the person who takes this exam and gets 700. Not 705, not 699. But the person who gets 700. And that MQC should be on the learning site. There's the outlines for each exam. Those are called the objective domain. Again, just a fancy word for the outline of what's on the exam. The beginning part, you know, says this exam is intended for, you know, a network administrator or private cloud administrator who's been in the position for about 2 years and their environment is approximately this size or larger and they support this number of, you know, servers and so on. That's kind of the description of the minimally qualified candidate. One or multiple correct answers. So to go back to an earlier point, The new item types, fewer multiple choice. So you're going to see fewer questions that give you A, B, C, D that say, you know, select the correct answer. You're going to see more that might be A, B, C, D, E, F, and say choose all that apply. That certainly becomes a more difficult question to answer. It's not tricky, but it's more difficult. Yes, sir.
So for the questions that have a list of selectable actions to do and a sequence to perform them in,
yes.
Are both of those scored separately?
No.
Is the selection and the order one correct answer?
Correct. Yeah, so the question was the item types that I described earlier where you might have 4, 5, 6 you know, little draggable text boxes on the left-hand side, and you have to drag them over into another box and put them in the right order. That whole process is 1 point. It's one correct question or one incorrect answer. There's also select the best answer, which is no longer quite as black and white. But those are vetted across a large pool of subject matter experts, and it is commonly agreed that that is far and away whatever that correct answer is, that is the best answer. I personally like those items less, but this is what the new exams are, and they are, you know, this is the increased rigor. They are validating between someone who should not pass. If you don't know the answer to these questions, you should not pass the exam. If you know the material and know the answers to the questions, you should pass the exam. That's the way that these are put together. And here's that point, that questions are not intended to trick you, but they are truly intended to differentiate between the minimally qualified candidate and someone who's not. So I'm going to go off script again a little bit here and go into some additional tips on how to take these exams. Here's probably the most important one. How many people went to college or university in the U.S. here? Okay, so this is not your SAT exam. These are not your SATs. These aren't your GREs or your GMAT. These are not a one-and-done exam. These are not, you know, futuristic determining on what your career is, what your future is. Don't make too big of a deal out of these exams. Too many people, and I know some of you are in this room, I don't know who you are, but some of you are here, you make too big of a deal out of it, you freak yourself out about the exam, you get too high strung, you go into the exam, and it makes it more difficult. Even if you pass the exam, it does make it more difficult for you to perform well, to think clearly, to process the information and make your answer choices. I actually enjoy taking these exams. It's almost like playing a little video game to me. You have to go in and be psyched up to do this and get your score at the end. That's really the right approach. The other thing, don't tell anybody you're taking this exam. I mean, are you kidding me? I talk to people at these events all the time who say, oh, you know, I've got my exam scheduled for next week, Thursday, and, you know, I'm super nervous about it because I told my boss, and, you know, if I don't pass the exam, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, why did you tell your boss? That's the last person you want to tell. I mean, tell your dog, maybe tell your wife, but don't put that additional pressure on yourself. In case you don't pass the exam, and I'm not saying you won't, but don't put that, and everybody works at a different company and in a different environment, and some of you may have to get, you know, pre-approval from, you know, the finance department or from your boss or your manager to pay for the exam or whatever. That's maybe a different situation. If you can avoid telling your management that you're taking these exams, do so until you pass the exam. Then you're a rock star. Then you get t-shirts printed up and you wear them into the office. I just passed 247, or I'm an MCSE private cloud. So don't put that pressure on yourself. Couple other little tips, they sound silly, but honestly try them. It's not gonna hurt, and anything can help. Drink a couple cups of coffee about 30 minutes before you take the exam. And if you're not a coffee guy, you know, slam some Dew or, you know, whatever. The caffeine helps, as does chewing gum, believe it or not. I've read studies that say you have increased mental activity and acuity in the whole thing if you're chewing gum. It's a little odd, but it's not gonna kill you to be chomping on a big piece of bubble yum or whatever while you're taking the exam. So try it. You know, particularly if you struggle with exams and you're nervous, the gum may help you kind of defray the nervousness as well. Is that stuff helpful? Kind of the approach. Get psyched up and go in and take the exam, and seriously have fun with it. It's not the end of the world if you don't pass it the first time. It's not your SAT. It doesn't determine what college or university you're going to get into. Okay? Any other real quick questions? And we're going to jump into the actual exam content next. Yes, at the back. I think the question was, are any of the tests adaptive anymore? They are not, no. So What happens is there's a pool of questions that are written. So if you go in and sit down and the exam says, okay, you're going to get 52 questions, there's certainly more than 52 questions that have been created for that exam. There's a much larger pool. And let's say you don't pass that exam. The next time you go in and schedule it and take it, you're not going to get the same 52 questions. You're going to get maybe some of the same, but you're probably going to have quite a few other new ones as well. And that's just, again, to prevent people, because otherwise, you know, you could take it six times and memorize all 52 questions and, you know, becomes a little easier to game it that way. Okay, that's a good question. Anything else before we jump in? Okay, good. So we're going to start with the 246 exam, which is monitoring and operating a private cloud with System Center 2012. And for those, again, who missed the very beginning, these exams, I've been informed, have been refreshed. So I took them in the 2012, I took them both in beta. So they were fresh out of the gate, they were 2012. They have been refreshed, which means that they do contain System Center 2012 R2 content as well. And there won't be anything tricky on that. The question or the item should clearly state versions. So that would be another area to focus on, and that's not in this deck. So here's another important takeaway to plug into your mind, is when you're studying and preparing for these exams, make sure that you focus a little bit and understand the differences between 2012 versions and 2012 R2 versions, because those are certainly some areas that might have questions written around them. New capabilities, things that have been removed, what have you. So we'll jump into our first area, which is configuring data center process automation. This is pretty much what you would imagine it is. Now, again, for those who have not taken an exam or haven't for a long time, you're not going to get a question that's going to come up and say, okay, this question is about data center process automation, and it deals with Orchestrator. Here's the question. So these aren't grouped into buckets. They're all intermingled and jumbled up, so it's you know, really up to you to understand what the question is asking about. They're just grouped this way in, again, what we call the objective domain, fancy word for outline that's published online. So data center process automation deals with implementing workflows, Orchestrator runbooks, and service manager incidents. So very heavy on Orchestrator, service manager, setting up, creating incidents, dealing with them, and implementing service offerings. So here's a sample question, and I'm actually going to go back, because I'm sorry. As soon as I switch to the slide, everybody's like, I'm not listening. So what we'll do, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. We'll just throw the questions up, and we'll have an uncomfortable pause for each question, so I'll let you guys read it. I'm not going to read through it for you, because that's a little bit more distracting. So we'll do it kind of like an exam, and it's just, again, it's about having some fun. So we'll throw them up, you read through it, kind of lock your answer choice in your head, and then I'll kind of poll, and we'll say, are we ready? Get a couple nods, and we'll move on, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Okay, ready? 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 Okay, go. This question should say select the correct answer. Choose one. Although we're going to talk about that for a second. Okay, ready? Good. Create a sysprep version of SQL Server 2008 R2. Now, as I think I mentioned, this is actually somebody else's deck that I've just done some modifications to. I would actually argue that you have to do A first, right? You have to actually install it before you can create a sysprep version of it. Yes. Yeah, so this is not really a very rigorous or accurate question type. It's really just kind of a slap together simple version. You should not have anything arbitrary in the questions when you read them on the exam. It should be very clear and delineated. What's probably missing here is that, you know, you have a SQL Server VM created and built as your master image already. And then C is the correct answer. Yes? I can't hear you, I'm sorry. Correct. Okay. So the takeaway here is that you need to know how to deploy the various types of VMs that are required in an automated environment. Next bucket is deploy resource monitoring, and this encompasses deploying end-to-end monitoring, which includes discovering devices, deploying agents, importing management packs, configuring end-to-end monitoring, which again includes overrides, APM, doing monitoring reports and dashboards, SLT reports, dashboards, etc. So very operations manager focused, but certainly not limited to that. And here's our sample question. C has got to be one of them, right? I'm going with C. So while you're reading, I'll make a comment too. Choose all that apply could literally just be one answer choice. I don't know if I've ever seen one that it was, but it could be. Really? See, these aren't supposed to be actual questions. These are supposed to be...
Minus one part of the sentence.
Okay. Well, we're not going to talk about that then. Because we're all under NDA, so... everybody ready? Yep. So it's B and D. And the important point here is that port number questions will appear on the exams. I think it says later, you know, port numbers are easily found trivia, but it is applicable. So you wouldn't have, I appreciate the depth of your knowledge. The difference here is that, again, these are not actual questions. So these were basically thrown together as just examples. this question before it would ever show up on a live exam would have been reviewed so many times it would make your head spin. You wouldn't believe how much time gets spent on some of these questions. So the word available, that wording would probably not make it through the alpha reviews, and that would be rewritten by the eight SMEs in the room to be far clearer, because someone would certainly bring up that potential discrepancy. And that's where these questions get hammered out and made sure that they are absolutely clear and transparent. Third area, monitoring resources. We're going to pick up the pace just a little bit. This is monitoring network devices, servers, virtualization layer, and application health. So this is fairly comprehensive. And our sample question here, so the way I read this question, monitoring requests must use the most secure options available. What do I do? That's all that really matters to me. Ready? Am I going too fast? Another minute? Everybody ready? So this is a perfect example of what I was talking about before, where I used the phrase telegraphing the answer to you. So as you read this, you could actually put a piece of paper over A, B, C, and D, and you could probably guess, if you know this, what you're looking for in the answer choices. Now, if you don't know it, then that's a great question too, because it differentiates that you know the difference between SNMP V2 and SNMP V3, right? If you know that, you know this question. Takeaways, you must know the different options that are available for discovering resources and the methods you can use. I think the bigger takeaway there is exactly that question telegraphs to you very well. Configure and maintain service management. So implementing service level management, defining SLOs, and defining and implementing SLAs. Managing problems and incidents. This all smells like service manager. Managing cloud resources. So deploying applications and services and managing templates, apps, and self-service. So still service managers, maybe some VMM. Again, these exams are really comprehensive. You're looking at the entire System Center suite, that entire product, all the components. So our question here is this. First sentence is throwaway. The second sentence is what you're really reading. What should you do? Ready? Some nods. So this one, fortunately, they say choose two. So it's A and D. Takeaway here is you need to know how to implement all the service manager components. So what I was telling people earlier in the week as well is the breakout sessions are great, and you're here this week and able to focus on attending these sessions. I frankly think a better time for someone who's preparing for some of these exams, a better use of your time can be to spend that time in the hands-on labs areas where you have access to setups and environments that you may not have back at home. Yes, sir. Config Manager is kind of an exception to that. Config Manager, I believe, is Yeah, so Config Manager technically is not part of the Microsoft Private Cloud solution. And I believe it's also the only System Center component or piece that you can buy separately. All the rest of them now are bundled. Yes, I don't want to debate that because I don't know, but a DPM as well. Okay, thank you. So I went out and grabbed these two links and resources. These were really good. I was doing a private cloud deployment maybe a year and a half ago, and I had not done a lot with Service Manager at the time. So these two saved me, particularly the last one, Add User to Group Automated Request Offering Walkthrough. It's far more extensive than what it sounds like right there. And I believe, yeah, pictures are great. I believe these decks are also going to be available on Channel 9, at least post-event, if not right after the session. They should be after the event. So our last area in 246 is Managed Configuration and Protection. And this deals with compliance and configuration. So ITGRC, System Center Advisor, configuration compliance, managing updates, and implementing backup and recovery. So, kind of sounds like DPM, WSUS, a number of different things. You've been asked to provide data recovery protection for a web server in the DMZ. What do? Choose all. That's how I read these. I don't care that I'm the private cloud administrator. I know that. So this is choose all that apply. If this was, let's hypothetically, let's say this said choose two. Look at your answer choices. They are, in this case, logically grouped. A, B, and C are, they're certainly different, but they're related, kind of. D, E, and F are related because they are, sets of port numbers, right? So if it was a choose two, it might be one from A, B, and C. It might be one from D, E, and F, or it might not be. So that may not actually be a very helpful thing to point out to you, but I would probably go with one from the first three and one from the second three if it was a choose two. This is choose all that apply. Everybody ready? It actually is choose. It ends up being two. So C and F. You need to know how to deploy and implement DPM protection for your cloud resources, your cloud infrastructure. This is kind of a stinky question. If you're not a DPM guy, I don't know port 5718 and 5719. So. Yeah. So moving on to the second exam is 247. This one is configuring and deploying. So our first area is design and deploy System Center. This deals with designing a scalable System Center architecture. So obviously capacity, HA, reliability, scalability, continuity. Identifying appropriate System Center components for your cloud implementation, what goes where, how to install the System Center infrastructure, and how to upgrade the components, doing an in-place upgrade or side-by-side migration. So some of these components, and I just said products, some of these components used to be products like Operations Manager 2007. You need to know how to move from that to 2012 or 2012 R2. The second bullet point there, install the System Center infrastructure. If I was writing questions here, I don't know if this would make it through alpha review, but what is the one piece in a private cloud System Center private cloud infrastructure that is not supported on SMB3? Anybody know? It's not one of the System Center components. Nothing? SQL Server Analysis Services, which is required for your service manager data warehouse. So unless you've actually been sitting at a customer and done this installation or done it in a proof of concept for yourself, doing it with SMB, you might not know that. So again, that might not make it through alpha review. But so our question here, look at that, Ops Manager 2007. You want to upgrade to 2012. What would you change? Choose all that apply. Everybody feel comfortable with your answer choices? Done? Okay, got a couple people nodding. So it's B, C, D, E. Now, here's a note that actually came up when I did this session yesterday. This question would not look like this on the exam. You would not have these answer choices. You would have much more concise answer choices. And all of that preceding information would be up in a table at the top of the question. It would say your ops manager server is running on this operating system, and your SQL box is running on this operating system, and blah, blah, blah. And then you'd have to read that, process that, and map it to this. So the takeaways here, SQL has to be 64-bit and at least 2008 SP1. Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1 is the minimum for System Center 2012, and WinRM is required for all the management servers. And again, something like this, I would double check all of these requirements for System Center 2012 R2, because that might be different. Yeah. Our next one is configuring System Center infrastructure. So System Center components, DPM, storage pools, site-to-site replication, operations manager, there's an S missing, agents, management groups, run as accounts, configuring portals and dashboards. And God knows there's enough portals and dashboards in all the System Center components. DPM, you know, I would... think outside the box. DPM works with tape drives too. I can't tell you the last time I touched a tape drive, but I might be expected to understand that or know about it for the exam. Certainly not, too old in terms of capabilities. Tape is very capable, but you might need to know how to configure tape drives or initialize something or whatever. So here's a sample question. I probably already skipped past the answer, so those of you who are observant, I've ruined it for you now. But this is a totally legit question, and I personally hate these kinds of questions. So at least I don't have to pick a port number. At least we know it's 5723, but I need to know TCP or UDP and to or from. And I'm pretty sure I almost always get these questions wrong. I mean, you don't know, but I'm pretty sure I almost always get them wrong. Now, if you've done this, does anybody in here know? Or you saw the answer already, so I won't try to quiz you on this one. It's B. So again, there's my comment at the bottom that, you know, port numbers are somewhat trivial, but completely within the realm of reality. If you've taken a lot of Microsoft certification exams, you've probably seen a question that looks a lot like that, in maybe in a different context. Configuring the fabric. This includes storage, network, compute, deployment of update servers, so WSUS, configuring clouds and virtualization hosts. So for the VMM people in the room, you know, the introduction of the concept of clouds in VMM and how those work. Our question, you have WSUS, you're adding 2012. What should you do to control host updates? Choose all that apply and put them in order. So again, this would be a question where you'd have all these answer choices would be in little boxes here, and you'd have to drag them over to this other box here, put them in the right sequence. If you've done this process, this question is pretty straightforward. If you have not done it, you might just be guessing. Ready? No. Yes? Couple nods. So add the WSUS infrastructure to VMM first. Create an update baseline for the hosts. Second, scan for baseline compliance, and then do your host remediation. And WSUS integration is a key feature of VMM, so understand how that works and why. Again, if you've not done this, it can be a lot more confusing than if you've done it. I've done this, so that totally makes sense to me. I would probably get that right. System Center integration, configuring private cloud integration. So this is fairly comprehensive, doing operations manager connections in VMM, orchestrator integration packs, service manager connections, SharePoint integration. Somebody asked me yesterday what that referred to, and I honestly don't know. So, service manager reports, just a comment, okay. Configuring integration of public and private clouds, so profile configurations, host profiles, guest OS profiles, hardware profiles, SQL Server applications, templates. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a great question. The question is there anything that deals with Windows Azure Pack on here? I would presume not, just because that's really more post System Center 2012 R2. I would presume not, but I honestly don't know because I like I said, I took these exams when they were 2012 only, so I'm not sure. I would imagine not. So configure integration. Custom line of business app, business service running in WCF, Oracle database on Solaris, and a web front end in ASP.NET. What should you do to monitor? Yeah, it's D, right? That's what I'm going to recommend to my customers. Right. So we'll move on and I'll make a comment. It's B. How many people thought it was C? Right. That's why this is a great question. So I don't know what distributed application designer is. It's clearly something that's used for operations manager management packs, maybe creating custom management packs, so you know. Okay, so it was the same thing in my session yesterday. There was one guy in the back corner who knew what distributed application designer was. He knew this question. Everybody else in the room thought it was C. That's why C is a brilliant distractor, because it differentiates the minimally qualified candidate from the rest of us. So C is a great distractor. Our last area is deploying virtual machines and services. So configuring profiles, create and configure server app V packages, configuring and deploying a service. So doing template import export, VM templates, service templates, DAC packages, web deploy. Anybody in here know what DAC packages are? Just show of hands. Wow, okay, couple people. Yeah. So some of these are you know, these aren't up here to be tricky. They're up here to remind you of some things. This is kind of your little reminder. Hey, I don't know what DAC packages are or how web deploy works. I should probably go figure that out before I take the exam. Or just accept the fact that if you get a question on that, you're probably going to get it wrong. It is the other way, right? It's your choice, your approach. And then know how to update a service. Which of the following on-installation components are supported by Server App V? Choose all that apply. Ready? I don't want to spend too much time on Server App V. All of them except D and G. So I've got some nods, some people. This worked for them. Supports many but not all possible installation results. So in review, hopefully this session helps you with the information we discussed up front, as well as some of the sample questions and the content on the exam to start successfully preparing for these exams. Provide some insight into the new types of questions and formats. Again, the reminder, certainly 2012 R2, so read the questions carefully. Look for any differences there. And I updated this from the original deck, miles wide, yards deep. It's certainly very broad and very deep. So these are very challenging exams. Related content, again, less relevant today. There were certainly a lot of related breakout sessions this week around System Center components. But I have my suggestion here for you to focus on labs. There probably is still time today to do that. I don't know what the arrangements are, if lab material or content is available for a month or two after the event. Yes? 6 months? Brilliant. So avail yourself of that, because most of you probably don't have access to the same kind of infrastructure that it might take to do some of this stuff. I have a lab where I have 60 servers and two SANs that I can do whatever I want with. So you probably don't have access to that kind of stuff. So the labs are actually a great way to do it, particularly like on the server infrastructure, MCSE. There's stuff on there around storage spaces and, SMB3 and stuff that you may not have access to that kind of gear to work with that. There are some labs here called out. And also use your own discretion. If you're not a DPM guy, but you're comfortable with all the other areas, go do some DPM labs. Do some of that. There's a couple free exam study guides available. These are done by a guy who works at Microsoft, and these are available to help you prepare for the exams. Resources, Channel 9, as we mentioned, I believe is where the exam content, these slides will be available after the event. TechNet and MSDN, you're probably familiar with, as you are also with Microsoft.com/learning, which is the certification and training location. Excuse me. I would encourage you to complete an evaluation. You get entered into drawings to be able to win some prizes. And I would just recommend not even bother scanning this code. They have not been updated for any of these sessions, so this is somebody else's QR code. You can try it, but this is the second time I did this session, and it was nobody changed the deck. So you can do the evaluations right online on the ComNet or whatever it's called out here.
The Channel 9 app has a link for it.
Beautiful. Channel 9 app has a link for the evals, so please do that. And appreciate your positive feedback. And again, thanks for coming so early in the morning, 8:30, and hope you have a great last day at TechEd. Thanks.